The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
On the line from WA, we've got Nick Hayes from Media Stable. Nick, good morning. Thanks for being on the program.
Good morning, Mitchell.
You're almost becoming our unofficial WA correspondent.
Well, as originally a Victorian, moving over to WA, I'm very proud to be your correspondent.
So we spoke to you last at the WA state election, and we know that Mark McGowan won by a big majority, which indicated that people were happy with his approach to lockdowns and keeping you all relatively COVID-free over there. What's been the reaction over there to this latest lockdown?
Oh, look, this latest lockdown has been, it's been met with probably a little bit more resistance than what previously. We've only had three lockdowns here in Western Australia, and nothing near the level that Victorians have gone through. But this particular one has happened post an election. It was brought about very late on a Friday, and I think it was probably a very tough decision there for the government to actually say, look, let's just have a snap lockdown and do it. It was brought about late afternoon on a Friday, and a lot of rumours were flying around before the official announcement had actually been produced. So there have been questions as to how quickly that the Premier managed to get that information out. But generally, most people have felt, look, they understand why it happened. There's a silent majority out there that just will go with the flow. West Australians are the most obedient people, I think, going around, and they've just accepted it.
And when the Premier calls a media conference late on a Friday, I'm sure you know in the media, that's probably not a good sign.
It's not a good sign, and most broadcasters and most journalists already had the information. The reason it was taking a while for the Premier to actually tell the public was that he was letting the RSL know, because obviously Anzac Day and the commemorations on Sunday were going to have to be cancelled, and also to our biggest mining, the FIFO, the fly-in, fly-out mining groups, had to know what was going on, because that was going to have an effect on them. But anything late on a Friday, Mitchell, is not good news.
Are you meant to come out of lockdown later today? Is that how it's working?
We're going to find out this morning whether we are going to come out of lockdown. There will be still restrictions going to be on place. The good news is that there was one community transmission on the Saturday that was reported. No more transmission on the Sunday. And I suspect we haven't heard anything since. So we're looking at probably a zero today. I think that it then raises the big question then, was it an overreaction? Did we go too hard? But I think that tends to be something that the premiers around the country now are looking at and going, well, let's nip it in the bud quickly, but it does come at an enormous cost.
Certainly does. I saw that our local MP, Richard Miles, who's also the Deputy Labor Leader, was posting on social media this morning about panic buying, and I'm assuming he was referring to WA. Has panic buying been an issue over there?
Well, this was the issue, Mitchell, was that because it took 90 minutes for the Premier to come out and make the official announcement, and most people in the community were already finding out and knowing through social media, panic buying, us West Australians, we're not that smart. This is when I claim to be a Victorian. West Australians aren't that smart, because they went back straight into panic buying mode. But the good news is that most of the supermarkets, most of the retailers know how to deal with this now. And look, there's no issue with toilet paper or meat or anything along those lines. Panic buying does set in only because when you're not informing the people, when you're not telling them straight away or calming them down, it does have that effect.
And I mean, yeah, here in Victoria, they put the shutters up pretty quickly, almost as soon or even before a lockdown is announced. They put those quantity limits on, and it can be very annoying if you're buying things legitimately, but it seems to keep the toilet paper on the shelves, which is the main thing.
Yeah, well, a Friday afternoon is probably a fairly hectic time down at the supermarkets at the best of times, but just before a long weekend, and I guess that's what comes down to, it was a tough gig there for the Premier to make that call ahead of a long weekend. You had restaurants full on a Friday night. You know, the restrictions didn't come into place until 12 o'clock Friday night. And there's where I guess some of the the issues come in that there isn't a lockdown. It was basically, we can't get the police in place until 12 o'clock, so you're free to go about what you want to do until 12 o'clock. So we had football fields full, we had the rugby full, we had the basketball full, we had the restaurants full up until 12, but come Saturday, and particularly for Fremantle Football Club fans, their biggest game of the year, the Len Hall game, commemorating Anzac Day, zero people at Optus Oval, and it just seems to be a little bit of the inconsistencies that kick in. We're also allowed to leave Perth up until 12 o'clock, so there was a mass exodus of Perth people leaving to go outside the Peel and Perth area, and that caused some issues because they were required to wear masks and lock down themselves, but that wasn't communicated in the original communication from the Commissioner.
If you're leaving Perth, where do you go that's sort of driving distance but a nice sort of way away?
The only place to go, Mitchell, and that's Margaret River. You head down to wine country, that's what you do. Good surfing, good wines, and a good weekend.
I don't know if you support the West Coast Eagles, but they were over here in Geelong on the weekend, as you probably saw, and unfortunately went down by 97 points. So then maybe you can use all the sort of chaos around COVID as an excuse for that. But I believe on the weekend you've got the big derby game between the Eagles and the Dockers, and that'll also be at Optus Stadium. Do you know if things are going to be right for that, or is it just we have to wait and see?
I think we're still going to have to wait and see. Look, the reality here for the AFL is that being that it's both West Australian teams, I think that's going to go through. You would be a very brave government if you were to stop the derby, and we call it the derby over here. I call it the derby because I'm
yes.
But you know, look, you'd be a very brave government if you decided to close down on that game, because it is the biggest game on the fixture here. But look, I think the reality here is that we haven't seen any community spread. It's going to be a government that is going to loosen, I think, the restrictions over the next couple of days, and that game is something for everyone to look forward to. I just hope they allow for a 100% capacity for Optus if that is to go ahead and we've discovered that there's no community spread.
What about masks over there? During our lockdown, we seem to probably have the biggest mask wearing here in Victoria, probably just about of any state in Australia, and we only just recently got rid of masks in supermarkets. Will you be wearing masks over there after this lockdown?
I think we will. I think we will. Look, you know, Western Australians have been very complacent through all of this. We've been very lucky, and we've been probably, and you know, it's us having a little bit of a whinge about it over here at the moment. It seems quite ironic there to all the other states around the country. But look, we have been complacent because it just hasn't been here. We will wear masks. We will start doing the right thing, because these kind of lockdowns, they just impose such just so much pain, and also two financial issues there for businesses that we will go ahead and start behaving.
What are you hearing from the people around you about how they felt when that lockdown was announced? Because I know here in Victoria, even though it was only 5 days, it was pretty devastating, the prospect of being locked up. And also here in Geelong, we had even tougher restrictions than what we had in the worst lockdown last year.
I think a lot of people are really upset about this one, and I think more so because they've found their voices. We've got no opposition over here, so the state government has no opposition. There's two Liberal members that sit in the lower house, so they're virtually non-existent here. The real people that have got the voices have been the media, and also have been sort of senior GPs and medical people around the country or around the state that have got up and said, look, this isn't quite right. We're taking medical advice, but we never ever hear from the chief medical officer. And that has been an issue for a lot of people. Social media has been rife with commentary around the Premier and the way that the government's dealing with it, far more than there ever has been. But look, there is a silent majority out there that do tend to agree that this is what's required. And he's just trying to do his best job. But the way that he's communicated hasn't been great. It hasn't been wonderful. In fact, he just needs to work on that and delivering that information a lot quicker.
You mentioned there's no opposition, and you know, I watched the WA state election as well. What is it like over there with government scrutiny? Does the media go far enough at holding the Premier to account, or is there a real sort of vacuum in that space?
Taking up the role of the opposition. In fact, you know, you've got people like Liam Bartlett here at 6PR, Gareth Parker, Oliver Peterson. They're really keeping the government to account. And that's a little bit sad when the journalists and the media have to hold the government to account as opposed to a political party. But look, they have complete control. The one thing that this government has to be wary of is the fact that if they continue on this path, their only direction is down, and it just depends on how far down they will go. But at the moment, there is no political opposition here.
Finally, what are the lessons to all state premiers about communication, particularly around how you announce a lockdown and minimise the confusion of as many people as possible?
Get it out as quickly as possible. If you're going to inform other organisations, make sure that you're informing everyone at the same time. It's no point trying to do things behind closed doors. It needs to be done quickly. Panic does set in. Your people are scared. They get caught up in the emotions of it, so they need to do it immediately. And also to deliver it with some confidence that we're going to get through this. Unfortunately for the Premier, he looked a little bit disturbed. He looked a little bit angry that he had to actually go away and do this. And that only made people more angry. So get the information out quickly and communicate with your people.
Well, the thoughts of all Victorians, I'm sure, are with you, because we've been there, we've been to hell and back, we know exactly what it's like. I really hope that the Premier comes out for you this morning and gives a positive announcement that you'll be back to living your normal lives as of tomorrow. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, Mitchell.
Nick Hayes with us there from Media Stable, our unofficial WA correspondent.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.